with the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man, the Leisure Man.
Welcome to the Midweek Leisureman Podcast. Mm-hmm. It is that time of year, Paul. It is Christmas season. It is time to celebrate. Tell me about how you celebrate.
Holiday parties, when you go to your local pub, when you go to your local package store, grab some Guinness, get it at your holiday party. I'm having some people over. Mm-hmm. We're doing this thing where everyone has to bring like a crock pot full of anything, which I like crock pot food a lot.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a lot of Guinness on standby, you know what I mean? Because it's going to be cold outside. It's going to be warm. You want a nice, robust porter, stout, Guinness blonde, whatever you want, but get some Guinness for your holiday party. It's the best. And you're at your local store, grab some to pick up to bring home, and at your local pub, grab a pint. There it is.
And if you happen to be at a party with Paul, just nudge him and say, where's the good stuff? Where's the Guinness? Because you might be hiding things around.
Yeah, if you see me socially, just say, hey, dude, where's the good stuff? I'll get you a pint of Guinness.
Yeah. Awesome, buddy. Time to celebrate.
All right.
All right.
What do you want to get to today? Because you seem to have a bunch of stuff cooking over there.
Okay. I got a segment I'm calling If Paul Papps Was in His Shoes. Now, ooh, it's very specific to our show. It wouldn't work on a lot of other shows.
Yeah, because I'm not on any other shows.
Well,
Like if you did on First Take, if they did a segment, like Max Kellerman said, if Paul Papps was in this person's shoes, I'll bet you that Stephen A. Smith would be like, what are we doing here? I barely even know Paul.
Yeah. Or even like, you know, obviously Max Kellerman's show, if they were like, what would Wilbon do? That would not work.
Right, and vice versa. On PTI, I know Wilbon pretty well, and I know Kornheiser, but if you said, what would Paul Papps do? They'd be like, it doesn't fit in our show at all.
Definitely. So I have three topics. I have college football, what would Paul Papps do? I have NFL, where I kind of take a dig at your favorite team of all time.
Here it comes.
And I know you love this. I have a Christmas party etiquette.
Ooh. I think we're going to save the Christmas party etiquette because I got a lot from yesterday's with my wife's office party. Yeah. Let's start with the pros. Let's start with the something close to my heart. What do you got?
Okay. I am already getting the vibe. And I said this, I think, moments we were on the field. We were in the stands in Minnesota. Philadelphia Eagles shocked the world. Philly special beat the Patriots.
I was sitting right next to you.
I got this vibe. It almost was like an aura. I'm like, we have just witnessed the 85 Bears of Philadelphia. This feels like a one championship, and I don't know when Philly's going to get another. And as a lifelong Eagles fan, I'm sort of okay with that. I don't love what's happened this year, but is it possible we could be satiated? What is the word?
Satiated, I think.
With one title, kind of like 85 Bears. Tell me how this works, Paul. I want your experience to inform me.
I like where your head's at because you are a longtime Eagles fan. You're a man who's in the middle years of his life. You're not old or young. You're kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
So you've had some tough times with the Eagles. You've tasted some success with Ron Jaworski, with how many times? Randall Cunningham. And Donovan McNabb, really close, right?
Yes, except that was more disappointing than good.
So more painful. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you got a Super Bowl. And you got it from a backup quarterback against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You may be, you may have made a deal with the devil football-wise, and you may not get one for a long, long time. And you may have to, it's like a fire, and you're trying to keep it going to keep you warm for years. You don't want to let it burn out too fast. I'm an 85 Bears fan. I sure would like to see the Bears win another Super Bowl, but I don't need to see the Bears win a Super Bowl. Last thing, I'm a Cubs fan as well.
Sure.
If the Cubs never win another World Series in my lifetime, I'll be disappointed, but not drastically disappointed, because I got my one. If I never got one and never had that feeling to look back upon, it's like if you didn't go to your prom. Mm. You know, if you didn't go, even with anybody, even with I may have been the backup choice for people, so I really shouldn't talk, but you may have to just dine out on this Eagles win for a long, long time.
So it's interesting. Here's my opinion on what happened to the 85 Bears. Buddy Ryan left immediately to go with my Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
It's a big deal when I was a kid. All of a sudden, I think he was one of the key parts of that team. All of a sudden, everybody became a star. The Eagles, for example, there were four Eagles books this offseason. They had a ton of injuries, and it just felt like the word hangover has been used a lot. So they lost Frank Reich, their offensive coordinator. They lost their QB coach, Don DeFilippo. The writing was on the wall that there was going to be hard times ahead.
But it could also come down to the 85 Bears the next few years. They didn't have Jim McMahon regularly at the quarterback position.
There you go.
And they were like Steve Fuller and Doug Flutie and Mike Tomczak. They're just not Jim McMahon. You're in a position, though, where you're kind of in the opposite.
Well, am I?
Carson Wentz is fantastic. He has a broken back. Don't tell me.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, I feel like he's our Jim McMahon. Like, I don't know that I can trust he's going to be healthy.
But if the 85 Bears had a high-end backup, and you have as high-end of a backup in NFL history, the guy who outdueled Tom Brady is Nick Foles.
But come on, first of all, he's a free agent. He's not going to stick around. No, we need Wentz healthy.
But this year, I'm talking right now. Like,
it's too late.
It isn't, technically.
I feel like it's too late for the Eagles. I'm going to rue this. I mean, they don't. Tiebreakers aren't going to work out great for them. To the Rams this weekend.
I'd be shocked if the Cowboys didn't give you an opening at some point here in the next 3 weeks.
They have to beat the Rams in L.A. with Nick Foles. The Eagles.
That's classic NFL.
Yeah, you're right.
That is classic. I would actually probably bet just on the money line that the Eagles would win.
Yeah, I feel like there is a very good possibility. I read the story saying, why are you going to pay Carson Wentz if you can't stay healthy? Now, I don't agree with that. I'm paying Carson Wentz. He's fantastic. But it does make you wonder, are we like the 85 Bears? This episode is brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. NHTSA is working hard to change habits and save lives during the holiday season. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. You could get in a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But let's take a moment to look at some of the surprising stats. Almost 29 people in the U.S. die every day in alcohol-impaired vehicle crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. Even though drunk driving fatalities have fallen by a third in the last three decades, drunk driving crashes still claim more than 10,000 lives each year. Drunk driving can have a big impact on your wallet, too. You get arrested, incur huge legal expenses. You could possibly even lose your job.
So what can you do to prevent drunk driving? Plan a safe ride home before you start drinking, before the night, and make sure you arrange for a safe ride. We all know the consequences for driving drunk, but there's one thing for sure. You're wrong if you think it's no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Okay, can I give you the college football?
Yeah, I love it.
What would Paul Papp do in this guy's shoes? The NFL draft buzz is not around Nick Bosa. It's not around Quinnen Williams. It's not around Ed Oliver. This week is about Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback, because he has to make a decision soon. Is he really going to go to baseball like he's been telling everyone and his agent, Scott Boras, said? All of a sudden, I read an article today, NFL scouts fascinated with Murray, any chance he'll audible. What would you do, too?
If I were Kyler Murray, because I think a lot of people quickly make the decision that baseball is safe, safe in many ways. Physically safer, financially safer, which it definitely is because he's got guaranteed money from the A's just sitting there. He either has it already or it's coming to him as long as he meets his commitment. That said, if you want to make some real money, be the next Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, I bet, made a lot of money from Nike.
Yeah.
And if Kyler Murray says, I'm going to do both and try to do both for the next 5 years and see what happens, and then pick what, at some point he'll say, you know what, I'm going to go with this one. Kind of, you know, Deion Sanders flirted with it.
Did it more than anyone. He did it longer than Bo.
I think he was in the World Series as a baseball player.
Yeah.
And I don't know. If I were Kyler Murray, I'd try to do both. In this culture, remember, we want him to do both. Nobody wants him to just play baseball because as many baseball fans, unless you're an Oakland A's fan, you don't want him to play baseball.
No, and you never know if he's going to make it.
And that's what's different about baseball and football. You could be a fan of athletes to tune in to watch. I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan, but I tune in to watch Aaron Rodgers because he entertains me.
Right.
Kyler Murray right now is in a position where he is so white hot and people want him to try football and try to prove him wrong or he's too short and all that stuff. And if he's even like an above average quarterback, he's going to get paid for days. And then he could still play baseball for the Oakland A's. I mean, I'd take a shot at both if he could work it out. What are the A's going to do, cut him?
No, I don't think. Well,
you may have to restructure some money.
Yeah, they'll talk tough. But
what
would
you
do?
Let's say you were his father.
If that's an option, what you said, that'd be my number one choice. I might lean football now because now they're talking about a first round. I just think there's more glory.
You can't get much hotter than he is right now, football wise.
Yeah. Now I don't know. He doesn't seem to me to ever get hit. Now that's probably playing the Big 12. If there's concerns about health, is he going to be able to endure? That's a different issue. But right now, I would lean football because I think he showed. No one thought he could pass like this. By the way, he threw 40 touchdowns this year. He never showed that at A&M. He was in a mix of high recruit quarterbacks, and no one had any idea this was coming.
You know, we had Drew Brees on a while back, and it was either Drew Brees or Russell Wilson on the Dan Patrick Show, and we were discussing height, and Drew goes, "You know what?" I think it was actually Drew. Drew goes, even if I was 6'4", I couldn't see over my linemen because they're bigger than me. He goes, you see in pockets, you see in lanes, you see between helmets and all this kind of stuff. He goes, it wouldn't really matter with me in the pocket. He goes, I stay in the pocket. He goes, would I like to be 3 inches taller? He goes, but it wouldn't make that much of a difference. I think it's one of those things we overrate.
Totally. I 100% agree. That's an official. On the Leisureman, like 10 commandments of sports,
okay.
Ignore height is the number one.
Yes. Let's say you had the last pick in the first round of the draft. One of the final picks of the draft. And you kind of needed a quarterback, but you didn't need one day one.
Get Kyler Murray and play him in multiple positions? Is that where you're going?
Yeah. Or do you just make him a quarterback?
I don't know. No, I want him out on the field being dynamic. Kind of like the Ravens started out this year with Lamar Jackson, played a lot without playing quarterback.
Can you imagine him in Jacksonville, what that would do? A shot in the arm for that franchise.
Be awesome.
And have him and Fournette in that spread, and you don't know who's going to take it? Ooh.
Wow,
Did I just stumble upon something?
I like that. Too bad Fournette on the sidelines injured. Okay, back to the game. What would Paul Papps do? You're Will Grier. Your West Virginia Mountaineers are in the Camping World Bowl.
Oh.
Now you're out of it. You could go through the list. Jared Stidham is not playing with Auburn. Justin Herbert is reportedly playing in his bowl game for Oregon. Dwayne Haskins, I believe, is playing.
As of right now, he's playing.
Right, so what do you do? And I'm going to stick to quarterbacks.
Man, I like to think, and sitting in my chair here where I'm not actually risking injury and I have a home and a paycheck, but these guys may not have any money. We don't know their family situations.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I think we assume because, they're probably a middle-class kid. How do you know? How do we know? We don't know if Dwayne Haskins is rich or poor or Will Grier is rich or poor. What if Will Grier is completely lacks funds and doesn't have any backup plan and said, I can't get hurt. I got to be a late second-round draft pick. There's some good money in being a late second-round draft pick. I think I would skip the bowl game. There's no upside for it anymore. And even the stigma's gone. When McCaffrey did it, it didn't hurt him a bit in the draft. Not a bit.
Interesting. Yeah.
I would like to say, I'm a team guy. I want to be there for my team. I don't think I would pull a Nick Bosa and leave halfway through the season.
Well, he was hurt.
Yeah.
Ab injuries are tricky. You know, Okay. By the way, Will Grier, interesting fact, his brother is a social media vlogging superstar.
What does that mean?
He's like this guy who people, I have no idea, he was like a big Vine star or something. It's famous. Will Grier's brother is a famous social media YouTube kind of star. Anyway, but I'm totally with you. I would sit out because of money. Just because once it's in your head that, oh my gosh, what am I risking? Like, but Kyler Murray, we actually had this argument. You said if he wasn't in the Final Four, he would probably sit out. If he's really going to play baseball, why not just play one more game? Because otherwise, he might be. Can you imagine? You're so good at football and you played your last game ever. You wouldn't want to go out for just one more game to show off?
Yeah, because I think you have a guaranteed deal with your baseball contract, even if you get hurt. And you don't want to get hurt, but it'll be fun. Man, okay. That's some good stuff here.
All right, one more. What would Paul Papps do? You are Josh Heupel, the coach of University of Central Florida.
By the way, side note, I'm friends with Heupel. Heupel came to the. Years ago, came to the Walter Camp Awards when I was working at ESPN, and I was sent down to represent like college game day people at the Walter Camp Awards. Heupel and I chopped it up for like 2 days straight.
Nice.
And he comes back the next 2 years as like a guest, and we tore up New Haven. Heupel and I, there's still stories hovering above New Haven.
Love it.
Of when we hit the town.
I am pulling up pictures of him, by the way. He does not look like a former elite athlete in any way.
He put on a couple pounds.
So you're Josh Heupel. UCF's out of the Final Four. You're playing LSU in a bowl game. How do you sort of advocate for your school this month? Are you screaming your head off, or are you waiting to the bowl game and show on the field?
Great point, because if you scream your head off and you get boat raced by LSU, it's back to the JV for UCF, ASAP, PDQ, like that. I zip it, and hopefully we get a win. Because if you happen to beat LSU even by 1 point on a fluky play, you could say, look at this. Look what we can do. Give us a chance.
They play Stanford next year. It should be interesting. So they get a little more competition. Feels like the eight team. Just a side note, where do you stand? You think this eight team playoff is going to happen? There's a lot of momentum.
There's no doubt it's going to happen.
Give me a year.
What year is it now? 18, 19?
I read 20 is a possibility legally.
At best, don't worry about legally.
Yeah, good point.
Anytime two parties agree that they can make more money on a new contract, those two parties will rip up an existing contract. I'm no businessman, but I'm assuming. I would say at the earliest 2 years from this playoff.
And yeah.
I would say 3 years for sure. There's just too much money.
Yeah.
Everything's going that way. I think what happened is we didn't expect college football to be so predictable so quickly with Alabama and the Georgia's, Clemson's, and maybe a Notre Dame gets in there. And so it's made the Final Four really predictable. And we also didn't expect all these athletes to start tapping out of bowl games.
Yeah.
We didn't see
true.
That 2 years ago when McCaffrey did it. I don't think we thought it would be an epidemic, and now it's going to be the standard.
I heard an interesting take. I think it was on Mike and Mike or Mike and Trey that they were saying, oh, Barry Alvarez, former Wisconsin coach on Kimmy, saying that it's unfair that the Big Ten left out. Big Ten is left out. He basically wants a participation trophy for being not in the thing. That struck me as ridiculous because I got to tell you, the schedule, Clemson facing the ACC was not as hard as what the Big Ten faced. This is a matter of opinion that those teams are better than Georgia and Ohio State. I don't think it's a fact that Notre Dame and Clemson were that much better. I thought that was a crazy statement. So I'm like, you put Georgia on the field against Notre Dame and let's see.
And vice versa, the SEC does not want it changed as of right now because they have a stranglehold on probably two spots a year.
Absolutely.
They are so far ahead of the game, at least in this era we're in right now. It may change down the road, but I don't think it's gonna, as long as Nick Saban's there. Right now, they have one spot guaranteed. The SEC winner's going, and they are first up for the next team in.
Yeah.
And
they just missed with a two-loss Georgia team this year.
Look at the Pac-12. The Pac-12, they should jump on 18. Pac-12 needs it more than anybody.
Yeah. But by the way, if there's an A team, you might get three SEC teams. So the SEC, they're going to be fine. All right, let's switch to a Christmas party etiquette.
Let's move on to the season. Now, you go to a lot of parties. You're a man about town in New York.
Bon vivant.
I want to ask you about parties where, let's say you go to a holiday party at someone's house, holiday party.
Got it.
Not a coworker, just a friend.
Sure.
What do you bring? What should you bring? Holiday parties.
Oh, alcohol.
Any type, basically, right?
Beer, a bottle of whiskey, nice wine, depending on the couple. But, why mess around with it? Just go straight to booze.
Let's say, hypothetically, you and your wife are going to a holiday party at, a couple. You had to drive 5-10 minutes for it to the other side of New York. You pull up, you're running late. Let's say you said, because you don't like being late. This is a debate my wife and I had before.
Yeah.
We were running late to a holiday party. We were going to go to a liquor store and buy something and then go to the holiday party. We were running quite late. And I go,
holiday party. You don't have to be there on time.
Well, we were running quite late.
Like you're going to miss the tail end. Like you're going to be there.
We were running offensively late, we thought. I'm not big on being late. My wife is not big on not walking in without something to hand to the host, which I think I am too. But I lean more on let's just get there. They'll be okay. She goes, no. Where would you side on that one if you had to split a difference? Being on time, if you had to judge, my wife and I are a little debate. Mm-hmm. Get there on time, lean towards Paul's move, still make it to the liquor store, take another 10 minutes and be 10 minutes later and get a bottle.
I am 100% with your wife.
I'm probably with you too.
First of all, why do you have to be on time I don't know how can you be offensively late for a holiday party? I understand what you're saying.
Well, let's say the party is scheduled 7 to 10. It's not a rager.
And how late were you?
It was
7 to 10, gotcha.
8:45, you're strolling in. That's borderline offensive. And then you may have to make up that you had
enough. Why?
I don't know.
First of all, I don't know why you were so late. That is not. My wife, by the way, likes to get to every party we go to, has to be there at exactly the start time. And
really?
In New York and in Europe, you don't get to the beginning of a party.
I'm surprised because your wife is quite smart socially.
Yes, she is. No, she's her friend Liz. I don't want to call Liz on the podcast, but I'm going to do it. Liz has to be 5 minutes. She goes on Tom Coughlin time to parties.
Early to parties?
Yeah. You have no idea how many times I've been to parties, Paul.
And they're setting up?
They're setting up. And they're and it's awkward. And they have this thing. They've had it since college.
I'm pretty shocked by this.
Yeah, no, Sarah, she's no shenanigans. This 8:45 would have sent her into a panic.
Okay.
But she was like your wife would also want a bottle of wine. She would have been very confused.
If I ever showed up to a party, let's say you were hosting a party, Andrew.
Yeah.
And you and I know each other well. And it was 7 o'clock. Let's say I happen to get to your neighborhood at 6:49 and park my car. I would walk around the block. I would go into a muffin shop. I don't know what I would do, but I would do anything not to walk into your party until 7:10.
I am totally with you. I have no idea why my wife is like that. And she's like your wife, too, so she would need a present.
Also, you might find yourself helping with the setup if you get there at 7:01 for a party.
Well, let's face it. We're at the point of our lives where we're thrilled to get out of that party early. I mean, talking to our wives' friends, oh, my God. I said it. Yeah, I don't care. I'm selling out everybody. As long as, you know.
By the time most people download this, the holidays will be almost over.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, okay. If Susan is listening, I'm sorry your party sticks.
Sorry,
Liz. Made up name.
No offense, Liz. went to my wife's holiday party. She works for a big real estate company in New York City. There's probably 80 people at this party. They rented out a restaurant. Really nice, really high-end, beautifully done. Now, I know about 15 people of the 80 at the party real well.
Okay.
Because they're the original, the OG employees of my wife's company that has grown and grown and grown. The other, I would say I know 20 of 80 well. The other six, I know maybe another 20 by face, and there's 40 people I've never seen before in my life or maybe saw them at the past party or two. The only thing that bothers me sometimes about parties where you see like a spouse's coworker once a year is you have the exact same conversation almost to the word that you had last year. This guy comes up and he goes, "Hey, Paul." I'm like, "Hey, blank." He goes, "How's Vermont?" And so, because that's all I'm known for is like posting
the Vermont
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the Vermont guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, "It's good. You got the place up there by and now you had to finish all his sentences. Like Mount Snow.
I know that conversation. Yeah.
It felt like a bit. Like he would start the sentence and he goes, "And your daughters, they're 9 and 7. Yeah, 9 and 7. And I'm like, is this a bit? Because we had the same conversation last year, but it was 8 and 6 in Vermont. And he goes, "Hey, great seeing you. Keep in touch. Keep in touch."
Did he really say keep in touch?
He said keep in touch. I'm going to see you in 364 days at the next party.
Dude.
I was not mad about it. It's just I found it funny.
I have my wife's party on Saturday night. Painful.
She works in the education business.
Yeah, and also, too, there's also some coworkers she doesn't love and has been trash talking for a year that I have to sit and talk to. I'm like, "Hey, listen, Susie, I know what you did in the conference room back in
the day."
Susie is a made-up name.
The Suze-meister.
Yeah, I hope no one's listening to this.
Man, well, but, luckily we're probably right.
Yeah, but did you have any of those conversations where you're like, "Oh my gosh, I really don't want to be talking to this person"?
No, I did pretty well. I stuck with the people I knew, talked a little about, like, do you get the sports stuff? Like,
yeah.
No matter what?
Always.
Dana has this, her big, big boss. He's one of those guys who, he is truly a billionaire or in that neck of the woods. And everyone kind of kisses the ring when he comes in. Very nice gentleman. And I treat him kind of like I would treat anybody, and I think he likes it. I'm like, "Hey, Bill, good to see you." And he goes, "Paul." Oh. And he's an older man. He goes, "Paul. How are you?" And then I know he's about to ask me, as he's done in the past 11 holiday parties, about the Mets, because he's a hardcore Mets fan.
Oh, what
so before even Gus gets to the Mets, I go, "Bill, you're not trading Jacob DeGrom, are you?" He goes, no Jacob DeGrom. He goes, "Why would you get?" And he starts just going off, and he kind of sounds a little bit like Steinbrenner, and
like Larry David doing Steinbrenner?
Larry David Steinbrenner, and it was really fun. We had a good time, but I get about 90 seconds to 3 minutes with him every year. And then I realized, that's it. This guy's a billionaire. He gave me 3 minutes of his time. That's by far as much as I'm going to get. And that's not bad. There's some people at the party, they're hoping for a handshake.
That's awesome. Do you have to research the Mets before? Because let's face it.
I did. I just double-checked the DeGrom situation before I walked in, because I would hate to find out like he'd been traded. And Now,
you have 3 minutes. Did it ever even cross your mind, like, "This guy's a billionaire. Should I pitch him something just on the off chance?"
No, I go the opposite. I never bring up business or stocks or anything, mostly because I don't dabble in that stuff so much. but it is funny, like, you don't know who in the room is worth $10 million or what.
It's a wild scene.
And you don't know, like, by their demeanor, you don't know who's who. How about you? What do you like at the spouse's holiday party?
Yeah, it's painful, man.
Because you're chatty. You're a chatty guy.
I'm chatty, but, this is so we go to the same party every year. It's like, it's actually not an official work party. It's in this gorgeous apartment in Manhattan, except that there's no room to move around. Mm. So once you get stuck in a corner, you're stuck.
Yeah.
And I fear awkward, and I have the same awkward conversation with the same guy. So I need room to operate. I need distractions. I need ways to get out of conversations.
Okay, let's give some advice. A leisureman holiday advice for getting out of bad conversations. I say you just pull the Band-Aid and say, all right, I'm going to take a lap. I just do that.
But what if you just, your lap, and you land up at the same spot and you have to continue the conversation?
You don't do that. You go to the bathroom, you freshen up your drink, you find someone else to chop it up with for 3 to 4 minutes, and then you go, hey, all right, have fun. I'm going to take a lap. And then you just keep taking laps like you did in the house parties in the old days in college when you couldn't find any girls. You just take a lap.
Oh, yeah. I did many laps. I was basically like an Olympic runner, and I did so many laps.
So I don't really even like try to dislodge a conversation. I just announce this is over, and we both know it.
Yeah, but you're a blunt person. I am not.
You can be.
Yeah, but I'm not as comfortable.
If you see food, you'll leave a conversation in mid-sentence.
Wait, what's that? There's food? Where?
Okay, so that's the tip, leisureman tip. Just tell the people, hey, all right, let's catch up in a bit. I'm going to take a lap.
We're here with Heidi King, Deputy Administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. NHTSA is working hard to change habits and save lives during the holiday season. Tell us about Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over.
NHTSA's National High Visibility Enforcement Campaign, Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over, will focus on raising public awareness of the dangers of drunk driving. Law enforcement agencies will be out in full force looking for impaired drivers from December 13th through December 31st.
Do you have any safe driving tips for drivers during the holidays?
For many, the holidays and holiday parties involve alcohol. Be honest with yourself about how you celebrate and make plans to get home safely without getting behind the wheel. If your community has a sober ride program, make sure you use it and download NHTSA's Safer Ride mobile app from Google Play or Apple's iTunes store. It allows you to call a taxi or a predetermined friend and identifies your location so you can be picked up.
For more information about the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign, visit NHTSA.gov/drivesober. That's NHTSA.gov/drivesober.
The last thing before we wrap the Leisureman podcast, there was a huge shellfish tower at this high-end party last night, my wife's office party. First deck, the lower deck, probably 100 oysters. Honestly, probably 80 oysters. Next deck, shrimp cocktail, probably 70 or 80 shrimp cocktails. Mm-hmm. Huge. Mm-hmm. Top deck, got to be a dozen, 15, 20 lobster claws and lobster. I mean, it was an excessive seafood tower. There's plates, there's those little forks, there's cocktail sauce, there's vinaigrette, the whole shebang. And it's at the end of the bar of the cocktail hour and a half. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm not gonna be first guy in. I try not to do that. But I'm not gonna be last guy in.
Right.
And we're about more than halfway through the entire cocktail hour, and they're walking around with plates of food, and I'm going in, being polite to the people who are dropping the food off. And then I go to Dana, and I look at my wife and go, you know, no one's touched a seafood tower. And my wife, who's on the party planning committee, goes, I know. Why would no one touch it? She goes, do they not know it's open? Should I make an announcement? I'm like, it's sitting there at the end of the bar. It's obviously open for business.
Yeah.
So I walk over, and she goes, would you open it up? And I've never done this before. I've never opened up a seafood tower. So I'm
really, whoa.
Yeah, I know. Stay with me.
That's a lot, dude.
And so
that's a lot to put on you.
Here's what I did. I go over. Now, I've already had the conversation with Bill, the big boss.
Yeah.
And so we put that to bed. So I'm not going to speak to him again voluntarily because he doesn't want, you know, he's already done 3 minutes with me. He comes sidling over, and I could see him eyeing the whole thing. If he opens it up, it's gold. And so I said, I go, Bill, you want to get down on these oysters with me? And he goes, yes. And he grabs a plate, and he and I just start wolfing down oysters. And I was totally hall passed because the big boss is sitting there with me. We're elbow to elbow, cocktail sauce all over the place, little forks. And then next thing you know, people just rush the seafood tower. But I used the big man to...
That's brilliant.
Yeah. It was lucky. Well, I can't really credit myself.
By the way, I don't know if 100 oysters and that... There's just one platter for your whole party? I remember you had an unlimited shellfish supply at one of these parties.
Well, here's what was going on. I noticed that they kept refreshing the oysters anytime it
got
under a certain level. Like when it got under 30 and looked a little sparse, some guy came out of the back and...
Well, see, you didn't know that. So I would prefer they lay out all these hundreds of oysters in advance so nobody feels any guilt.
Right. It was. I sent you a picture of it. Did you get the picture?
Oh, I did. And I did. I wasn't happy about that.
Anything to recap before we wrap up this edition of The Leisureman?
Dude, yeah. I'll just tell you real quick. I have Capitol Grill tonight.
Oh, that's big time.
Friday, we have a neighbor who's like a real chef who creates about 20 dishes for her holiday party.
Okay.
And then Saturday night, the wife's office party where they also have high-end catering. So I'm going to put on about 10 pounds.
And you know what I've noticed? Here's another leisureman tip. When you go to someone else's holiday party, overeating is encouraged and complimentary towards the host.
Yeah.
Now, you don't want to box everybody out and be a hog. But if you go back for seconds and thirds of anyone's food, they take that as a compliment.
Totally. By the way, we're not like, we sound like gluttonous jerks, by the way, right now.
No, I wouldn't say jerks. Gluttonous, getting there.
Yeah, it's just the holiday season. We're not normally, well, we are normally like this, but this is, we're foodies. I think that's more to the point. We love food, like, and not like, and trust me, we are not eating with a silver spoon around town.
And we've been enjoying eating food for decades. A lot of these new people, they just started liking eating food recently.
Yeah, and we're not usually taking down shrimp cocktail and steak. But if we do, we're going to tell you about it.
If we ever make it, Perloff, me and you, if we ever make it, like we hit the big time,
like
a Men in Blazers type money.
Yeah.
You know, let's go.
Do
to
they make a lot of money?
I think they're doing okay.
Okay.
If we ever get that MIB money, that let's go to a seafood restaurant and order like the high-end seafood tower just for us.
You mean our like order yourself? It's on not on work.
Like an 8-person shellfish tower that costs like $225.
Yeah,
and you know we'll get a drink like gentlemen, and we'll just take down his shellfish tower and almost like to prove a point that we made it.
How about this? We get 2 shellfish towers, so we don't have to even bother sharing.
You don't have to cross streams. That'd be genius. That we definitely need Men in Blazers money.
Yeah, maybe then some.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Leisurman Podcast, and don't forget the extremely popular 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Sunday night Leisurman Sports Radio show. It's great. 3 years in cooking NBC Sports Radio. Take care. We're the Leisurman.